Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. Do take the opportunity to go there and look over the resources, of course. Watch that short video there if you haven't seen it. If you've seen it once, well, I'll see it again. It's pretty powerful packed. Packed a whole two-hour study into 10 minutes and 59 seconds. It was quite a feat to condense that study down to such a small amount of time. So do take advantage of that to take it all in. It would take more than one viewing. And also we have all of the Bible studies you can take advantage of there. If you scroll down a little bit, you'll see some other links there. One for the most recent day's study, so follow that link and you'll find an index with some other studies in there, some topicals, and soon we'll be moving all of the studies to all of the archived programs to that site. So eventually everything will go there as far as the archives go. So do take advantage of those and listen to them at your leisure. I suggest starting with the Genesis study there and just continuing on from there. Today we're in the Gospel according to Luke, and we've ended up at, let's see, chapter 14 and verse 27. Of course, Messiah continuing here. He said, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." So we've got a second list here, a second thing in the list of people who cannot be a disciple. "If a man come after me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, yes, sisters, and yes, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And what does it mean to bear the cross? And of course, this is Yeshua. He's speaking before he goes to the cross. So most people listening to him would not have a clue as to what he's talking about. They might understand that he's talking about a crucifixion because crucifixion was the common way that the Romans practiced capital punishment. It was the iron fist, so to speak, of their empire that kept people in fear. They ruled by crucifixion, and it was a public display. You could be crucified for almost nothing, or just because somebody didn't like you. So you had to be real careful in the Roman Empire. So he refers to, "Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And as I said, you know, we're looking at the Greek here. It says a pole or a cross, a stake or a post, and, an instrument of capital punishment. Exposure to death, self-denial by implication. And so basically, putting to death the deeds of the flesh, putting to death those things that are displeasing to our Heavenly Father. That's the best way that I can put carrying the cross in this life. It isn't self-mutilation or flagellation or whatever they call it that some sects practice in the extreme. Yes, it can be something as harsh as denying yourself by, perhaps fasting, perhaps denying yourself of some of the pleasures of this life, but definitely and always denying yourself those things which are unlawful in the kingdom of our Heavenly Father. And if you wonder what is unlawful in the kingdom of God? Well, the kingdom of God, like all kingdoms, has laws and statutes and regulations and judgments that we must understand to live as good citizens in that kingdom. And so our Heavenly Father gave us the law and the prophets. And with the law, well, we get the law, we get the statutes, we get the judgments, we have the case law in there, so we can have a good understanding of what is pleasing to our Heavenly Father. And it's not a heavy burden. to tell you the truth, it's not a heavy burden when you compare it with any of the kingdoms of this world, especially today in an age where the kingdoms of this world and the land where I live, where they pay a good group of people in every state, and then in the federal level, at every level of government, they pay people hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, and they call them legislators, and that's all they do. They sit around and make up laws to lay heavier burdens upon the people. Year by year after year after year, millions upon millions of laws, so that everyone is now a lawbreaker in the kingdoms of men. Yes, you are all lawless in the kingdoms of men, but our Heavenly Father, it's not such a great burden. The book was written a long time ago, and He's not going to change it. His law is His law is His law. And you can read it all, and you can understand it all, and you can read the case law that's given in the book itself, and you can see many of the cases and lives that are portrayed in the scriptures, and you can have a good understanding of His law by His book, and you can hold it in your hand, you can understand it all, you can know that that 1,000 years ago, adultery was against His law, and thou shalt not, and that, you know, it's not going to change in 10 years, and that what was legal or lawful 100 years ago is not going to become unlawful 50 years from now. That would be a burden. If God was always changing His law, then we'd all be in big trouble, wouldn't we? If God's law was like the laws, such a heavy burden as the laws of the kingdoms of this world are, and, That would be a terrible burden. But no, get the book. You can hold it in your hand. You can know it all. You can read it through several times easily within a couple years. Or if you can't do that, you can listen to this program. Put it on your iPod. Listen while you're working or traveling or whatever you're doing. Or you can just join me every day. Or get into my archives. Download those things to your iPod. And listen to them every day if you can't. Or, you know, get some good Bible. I mean, you could also just get the Bible. You know, those programs where some guy just gets on there and reads the Bible in a kind of a monotonous voice. And so I was kind of, I mean, I love the Word of God, but I kind of find that gets a little boring. You get these guys, as great as their voices are, some of them have great voices, a little more inflection, a little more feeling, a little more flesh and blood would be nice. But yeah, you could do that too, you know. Although, like I said, I have to warn you, that can get a little monotonous after a while. Okay, let's continue in our study here. So we talked about bearing the cross and what that means. He says, if you don't do that, if you don't put off the things that are not pleasing to my Heavenly Father, to the Heavenly Father, that's bearing, you know, put to death the deeds of the flesh, you cannot be my disciple. And practicing a little fasting and doing it without some of the pleasures of this life that are lawful, that's good for you. It's good to practice discipline. It's good to practice going without. It's good to give your digestive system a rest once in a while, to let it just work on itself and clean itself up. And you got people that just you know, don't want to comment on the people in America and how many of them are obese, and they never give their system a rest. And they get so unhealthy, they pay the price for it in their flesh. And you know, that's the sad thing, is that they're going to have to suffer or die young. And that's a sad thing. But I guess in the corporate church and a lot of these churches where they have this mentality, the really holy ones, you can always tell who they are. Oh, I wish Jesus would come back today. Yeah, right. You know, just like, yeah, I don't know what that's all about. I really doubt that many of them really believe that Jesus is going to come back in their lifetime. It's just something they say to act holy. Yes. I'm ready to go. Come on, Jesus, come today. I'm tired of this life. You know the mentality. Well, that's not my mentality. I say, thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day. Thank you for another opportunity to serve you in my mortality. Thank you for the opportunity to bring more people into your kingdom, to save them from an eternal damnation. Thank you for using me to build your kingdom, give me 40, give me 50, give me 60 more years, and it won't be enough. I want to serve you. This fatalist mentality. I'm sure our Heavenly Father is not pleased with it. I think you're more like the hypocrites saying those things to be seen of men. Yes, judge it. If that stuff's coming out of your mouth, judge your heart, judge the intent of your heart and your mind. It's so selfish. That's what I see, selfishness. All you're thinking about is yourself. You're not thinking about serving the Heavenly Father. You just want to escape. And at the same time, yes, I'll look forward to that day. It'll come soon enough. The longer I live, the more I realize just how short this mortal existence is. And compared to eternity, as the scripture says, it's but a vapor. It appears for a little while, and then it fades away. So, moving on. Chapter 14, verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient funds to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth ambassadors, and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whomsoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Do you have ears to hear? Do you want ears to hear? Well, here's how you get ears to hear. Repent. You know there's that sin in your life. If you're not following him, there's that sin in your life. You may be pretending to follow him too, but you really can't hear it. You really don't understand what's going on, but you have a fear that his Holy Spirit has put in your heart. A fear that things forever may be a long, long time. And his Holy Spirit is convicting you of something in your life. You know, the biggie, the thing that you don't want to let go of, that he wants you to let go of. You know, that big sin, whatever it is, the one he wants to eradicate from your life. You want ears to hear? Let him have it. And you'll get ears to hear. Because until then, your hearing will be dull. And most of the scripture will just seem like confusion to you. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. So get an ear and listen to what you can hear. The Holy Spirit is calling you. He's convicting you. He wants you to get down on your knees, the knees of your heart, whatever. If you have to stand up, lay down, I don't care what position you're in. But you get the metaphor. Get on your knees and confess that sin before him and say, Father, I know this is not pleasing to you, and I don't want to let it go, but I need your help. Help me, because I want to enter into your kingdom. I want to do the things that please you. I feel helpless. Write your law upon my heart. And I don't care how many times I stumble over this thing. I'm going to keep coming to you until I have the power to let go of it. Because that's the other temptation for people that come to him. You know, they give up the biggie, or they try to give it up, but they keep falling down. And the enemy comes to them and he whispers in their ear, God will never accept you. Look at what you just did. You repented of that. Look, you did it again. Well, the righteous man falls down 7 times, but he gets back up. So get back up and tell Satan where to go. Get behind me, Satan. My Lord, my master said it, and I'm saying it too. I don't buy into that temptation. I'm reaching for the Heavenly Father's hand. Help me up, Heavenly Father. I want to be righteous. I'm going to get back up again and again and again, no matter how long it takes. Get an ear. And that's how you get an ear, if you want to hear. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. chapter 15 and verse 1 of the Gospel of Luke. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. He's not going to get much repentance from scribes and Pharisees. What's he supposed to do? Chase the only ones that are going to repent away? Yes, there's something wrong there. See, these scribes and these Pharisees, they got brain damage. Their thinking process is not working correctly because they're murmuring, saying, This man receives sinners, and he eats with them. And he spake this parable to them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth he not leave the 99 and go in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Well, all of you have animals, whether sheep or whatever, you know that this is the truth. You lose one, you go looking for it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. I mean, he's drawn quite an illustration. You know, he's talking about feeding swine in Israel. So to get you a little more feeling of the impact of the story and where it's being told and who it's being told to, you have to consider the swine. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, and I will go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose, and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his eldest son was in the field, and as he came, he drew nigh to the house, and he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants, and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore his father came out, and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years I do serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured all thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. So here we have a very moving story. It moves me emotionally every time I read it, when I think about the love that our Heavenly Father has for us. And the son that was faithful all the time, he learned a great lesson that day, as did the son who was unfaithful. We're in chapter 16 of Luke in verse 1. And he said also to his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors, and said unto the first, how much owest thou to my Lord? And we're at the end of the hour here. I think we're going to have to pick this up when we get back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we'll be back after a short musical interlude and the news, so don't go anywhere.